It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, hanging out at Hooters, one of our favorite locations, guys. Mall of Georgia. We're going to be here not only today, next Tuesday, next Thursday, and then a few days the following week for all the open practices. So stay tuned, and we'll get you updated on how many days we're going to be out here. But we'd love to get a chance. If you can't come out every day, we'd love to see you. But if not, you can pick a day and come through.
And not that we would think you would actually be listening to our show right now and then get to your calendar and get out the Sharpie. But next Tuesday and Thursday, to your point.
Please do.
So join the party, pal. I mean, these guys, look, I don't know what kind of sales job they have, Carl. I don't know what these guys do for a living. They just put their shh. So, again, as far as their boss knows, they're on a sales call and hey, hire as we like to say. You know? I'm up. Oh, I got to go to Tacoa. I got that thing with the guy, the Penske account.
Tacoa, you won't have any phone service up there.
Exactly.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, man, if you were just tuning in, today was a fun first day for the Atlanta Falcons. We had a chance to visit with Michael Penix Jr. If you missed the interview, we'll replay it for you later in the show. All the interviews that you might have missed throughout the course of the day, online at Odyssey.com. Raheem Morris coming up here in about 10 minutes with our own Andy and Randy. Right after practice, Rod jumped on with those guys and was talking about day one. And it's a building process, guys.
Right.
I mean, like, just like you guys. I mean, Mike and I, we want to get to the season. If we could play tomorrow, game one, yeah, I mean, would be all for it.
It's funny because you were joking around with me yesterday, like, how hype are you going to be? And I was like, you know, they're going to be in helmets and shirts. But I tell you what, they went hard today, as hard as you could go.
They did.
You know, there's still contact, even though you're not wearing pads or anything. But there was a level of intensity in the 11-on-11, which, again, you don't want to, you know, start reading into things and go, I think this season – I'm starting to feel pretty good about this. No, you look at it and you say, you know, is the energy level more intense than maybe it was last year? I don't know. To the naked eye, a little bit. A little bit.
I think so, too. Hey, you're not going to make fun of me, are you? Because I went up, you know, the bartender, she's been here for years.
Yeah, she's still married to that guy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know.
But so I went up and I said, they got all these new drinks here at Hooters.
They got a whole new menu at Hooters.
It's incredible. So I went up and I said to her, what's this summer crush? And she just made me, because I wanted an energy drink, because it's been already a long day, and I was like, give me a summer crush. So, Mike, it's got, I'm looking here, Grey Goose, strawberry puree,
nice.
Pineapple, lime, and Red Bull.
Hey, now.
Yellow edition. I didn't know what this would taste like.
How's it taste, man?
It's delicious.
Looks pretty good.
It's pretty damn good. So I'm just saying, I was like, you're not going to make fun of me, are you? Because they got a bunch of new beers
on tap as well. Tight-looking beverage right there, man.
Yeah, it's good. Like, I just wanted the energy drink, but she was like, I've got something better.
So we're hanging out. We call it the Taj Mahooters. It was funny. I was talking to some of the folks in the media, and I said, if you hadn't been, this was their model right before COVID. They started building some of these around the country. These are the big, high-ceiling, glass-enclosed windows, ceiling-to-floor glass. It's just a different kind of Hooters with a big, you know, O-shaped center bar, and that's why we call it the Taj Mahal Hooters. It really is the best Hooters in Georgia, so come on down and join the party.
All right.
At Mall of Georgia.
I'm with you, man. Raheem Morris is on the way, but right now we got to get to 4th and 1. First and foremost, guys, the update on Justin Fields. If you are just tuning in today, he sustained a dislocated toe on his right foot. He is listed as day-to-day, but the Jets were scared out of their blank, Mike, when he gets in a cart this morning and they're carting him off, and everybody's like,
right.
It's day one. What are we doing?
I think somebody had to give Greenberg CPR on the set of ESPN. You know, I mean, it's like, I went to high school. Half my friends are Jets or Giants fans. And it's funny because here I am in Atlanta at practice, and somehow my friends think I'm clairvoyant, that I'm dialed
in asking you?
To Rich Cimini from, like, the ESPN Jets report. Like, what do you know? I go, oh, man. So just to mess with my buddy Rick, I go, doesn't look good. But anyway, it's a toe, and how long is that going to take? I will say this, though. There was certainly a lot of chatter amongst us and, you know, friends of ours in the media here in Atlanta about, Is this a significant injury where the Jets would then be calling the Falcons? No, it's not that. But this is the kind of thing where we're seeing more and more injuries across the board in all sports.
Yeah.
More so, I think, the NBA was so much more acute in the playoffs this year. But you do have a feeling that maybe it's not that million-to-one shot that somebody has a starting quarterback go down and we're able to move Kirk Cousins, who looked good today.
No doubt. So for Fields, here's the good news, and good news for the Jets. And look, he's an Atlanta boy, man. We want him to do well. Maybe this is another opportunity for him, but he avoids a serious injury and significant missed time because he's listed as day-to-day. They can rest him, Mike. He's not going to miss any games, I don't believe. Meanwhile, Dave Canales talking about this is going to be a very competitive team. You guys know who Dave Canales is, right? He runs the Carolina Panthers.
A lot of guys at the bar, we were talking earlier about games we got to get back. They thought that Bryce Young was kind of in his – well, maybe it is – maybe showing off a little bit. Maybe a little bit.
At the end?
A little bit of extra little Cam Newton-type juice near the end of that game. If you were sitting low in like the 100 section, Bryce Young was popping off at the end of that game. And look, I give the guy credit because he took it in the cods. He lost the starting job. Eventually, he earned it back. And Lord knows, we made him look like Joe Montana in that game. But some Falcon fans here at the bar feel like, you know, we got some unfinished business with those guys.
I agree. But here's the thing. Dave Canales didn't just say we're going to be competitive. He went on to say, I don't think people are going to want to play us. Okay, coach, slow down. And then he said, I'm saying this because of the type of style of football that we will play. I expect that.
Is there something in the water in Charlotte between him and Rhett Lashley? I mean, it's like, hey, slow your roll. Bring it down a notch. But look. I think players take on the personality of their coach
and
the vibe. And if he's saying, look, we've been the doormat for a couple of years, and now we feel like we've turned the corner. They did have, I think, a pretty good draft. I think they supplemented that in free agency. I mean, that's why when you and I say the Saints will be terrible, but the other two teams in this division other than us are pretty good.
They're coming. I just feel like...
You think they're a 7-win team? They humiliated us.
No, they did.
They embarrassed us in the last week of the season.
Mike, and we still had playoff hopes. That was the thing.
Right. Outside shot.
Yeah.
We needed some help, but that kind of put the nail in the coffin. But to have our quarterback throw for over 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, and lose a game to Carolina at home?
Yeah.
That was a testament to just how bad our secondary and our pass rush was.
What do you make of Tua Tagovailoa and Tyreek Hill? Are they going to ever be what Mahomes and Tyreek Hill were?
Well, remember Tyreek, when he first got to Miami, said, of all the quarterbacks I've played with, nobody throws a better, more accurate deep ball than Tua Tagovailoa. So he has been out there trying to bang the drum for him. And Tyreek, by the way, we didn't get to this earlier in the week with everything else going on. Tyreek did speak with the media and did say he was selfish at times, did kind of own some of the mistakes that he made down the stretch, whether it was on the field or comments or sulking. So he did kind of walk that back for what it's worth.
Yeah, Tua says that Tyreek is working to regain the trust of his teammates. Mike, apparently he ticked off a lot of his teammates in the way that he acted, specifically at the end of the season, which he removed himself from the final game, if you forgot, and basically took himself out of the final regular season game. And his teammates are sitting out there like, yo, we're out here playing, bro. You just going to take yourself out of a game? So Tua is now saying Tyreek is working hard to regain that trust. I don't know, man. I just feel like whatever we thought that was going to be, like one of the most dynamic quarterback wide receiver duos, it just hasn't necessarily panned out to be that way.
And like I said, Tyreek, like at the end of the day, all wide receivers in their core are, okay, not all, 90%. Day-Day's giving the look. Okay, 75%.
75.
You know, screw that. 90% of wide receivers are divas.
Okay.
You know, Drake London is not a diva.
No.
Drake's got that dog in him. I think that, you know, Ray McLeod's got that because he's always had to overachieve his whole career. Same goes for Darnell Mooney, you know, who doesn't feel like he gets the respect maybe he deserves. But a lot of these guys are just high-maintenance guys, and Tyreek basically quit on his team at times last year.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate him taking himself out of the game at the end of the year.
Hey, speaking of quitting, we talked earlier about Ben Johnson pulling Caleb Williams off the field in Chicago. Mm-hmm. His old boss, Dan Campbell, the other reason for slowing down practice, he said, to get the guys off the field, too many scraps at Lions practice today.
Oh.
Apparently, Amon St. Brown... went at it with Brian Branch, safety for the Lions.
Both good players.
Apparently went at it several times, according to The Athletic. And eventually Dan Campbell says, that's it. Pull on the plug. And so practice, again, cut short. There was some scuffling yesterday up in Motown.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. Branch is a player, Alabama.
Right.
And obviously Amara St. Brown is one of the highest paid wide receivers in the league now. That's interesting. That team's competitive. We know that. They got some spice to them. But, you know, again, I'm curious to see what he's going to do without his two coordinators. But is that good or bad? Because Ra was asked about that today before practice started. Not that there were any scraps, but he said, how are you going to handle those situations? He's like, look, we got to understand how if you do that stuff out here, it can hurt you in a game. Right? Guy takes a shot at you, Mike. The second guy always gets caught.
Right.
They throw the flag, 15 yards, you kill a drive, and now we lose a game. Like, you just have to be smarter than that. So he was saying it's something you definitely talk to the guys about, but you do want them to have a competitive edge. But there's a line there. You can't just let guys be throwing down at practice every day.
John Morton, by the way, is the new OC for the Lions, replacing Ben Johnson. Tashard Choice, by the way, kind of cool to see. For those who remember Tashard Choice at Tech back in the day, he's a running backs coach for the Lions.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, man, look, they're trying to replace two of the best coordinators who both got head jobs. One, Aaron Glenn in New York, and obviously Ben Johnson in Chicago. Broncos quarterback.
Kelvin Shepard, if you know the Lions, he's the new DC.
Okay, yeah, he took over for AG. Right. Broncos quarterback Bo Nix, by the way, said he met with Drew Brees. Remember Brees and Peyton, Sean Payton?
Right.
Super tight. Won a Super Bowl. But he said, I met with Brees to learn and to do whatever I needed to do to get better. And if you thought Bo Nix was a buster, like, oh, and listen, we had our doubts, right? At Auburn, right. Remember, he's at Auburn, then he transfers, goes to Oregon, has a great year. And now you feel like, okay, maybe he might be one of the better quarterbacks in this class. But I got to tell you something. If Penix lives up to it, and Bo Nix is a playoff team, and Jaden Daniels has a playoff team, and Caleb Williams has, that class all of a sudden starts to look a lot different.
Right.
Right? From just a couple of years
ago. I mean,
ago.
Bo Nix, I think, you know, he feels he's still scratching the surface. They've got a great defense in Denver.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the next guy up, and the one we haven't seen yet, will be who we'll see in week two is J.J. McCarthy. With Minnesota, we still haven't seen. He was having a great preseason, threw for a number of touchdowns, and then, of course, he got hurt. Hey, the Eagles, another team that's looking, we're looking up at in the NFC, reports Wednesday at the Eagles camp, say former Georgia Bulldog Jordan Davis is a trim 330 pounds. He is down 26 pounds from what he was last year. So this is a dude now who's going to be a wrecking machine for already dominant defense, but they want him to get a little bit lighter, and he did. They picked up his fifth-year option for 26, so he's not in a contract year, but he is coming lean and mean.
I'm fearful for anybody that's got to face that dude. He was already a beast, Mike. You're telling me he's more in shape than before?
He's ripped. He's ready. Uh-oh. The bar is making a noise in the background. Look who just rolled in. It is Lil' Cam. Oh, Lil' Cam Newton and his son. We feel that Georgia D-Fax should take his child away from him for subjecting him to being a Carolina Panthers fan. But now he's got to chirp, Carl, because Carolina embarrassed us in the final week of the season at Mercedes-Benz.
Falcon fans, boo. Let's boo this guy.
Boo this guy.
Boo. Let's boo him out of here.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on, man.
Lil' Cam. What's up, Lil' Cam? By the way, he's going to do a podcast in the corner and crap on Jalen Hurts and every other quarterback that Cam Newton is still mad about. That'll be coming up later today.
See, we bring people together. This is good.
That's
though.
What we do.
I'm glad you showed
What's
up.
What's up,
little man? You good?
How you doing, brother?
Good to see you. I'm glad he showed up. Look at it, he's got his Cam Newton jersey on too. I mean, you really want to come in here like that, don't you?
And we just got word from the bar. Jerome is not going to make it. Jerome, the Alabama fan, apparently he could not get a guy to fill in at the recycling plant.
Okay, that's not true. Let's not kill Jerome. He had a family.
Look, he's got to separate the plastics from the metal.
That is not true.
So Jerome, the Alabama fan, will not be here at least today. Maybe we'll see him Tuesday.
As much as I want to take his money again this year, he had a family event, and he was saying, guys, yes. I really want to be there.
The family event was somebody to drive him to his job at the recycling center.
Hey, man, coming up, Raheem Morris, sat down with Andy and Randy. You'll hear it next.